Now, in this week's Arts, I talk to Irina Murray-Jantowska of the Royal Institute of British Architects in London about a successful new show there examining work in the Czech lands by famous functionalist architect Adolf Loos. The show picks up from a similar exhibition held in the Czech capital in 2008 and presents to British audiences some of Loos's best-known buildings in the Czech Republic and Prague, most notably the Miller Villa. When I spoke to Mrs. Murray-Jantowska on a line to London, I asked her first whether Loos's name was familiar to British museum goers.
I don't think that it's a name that's widely known. It's certainly a name that's known among people interested in architecture and interested in the 20th century culture, but I would not characterize it as widely known. There were earlier exhibitions in Britain that presented Loos, and that might be part of the public memory. One took place in 1984 that was organized by the British Council, and the very first one, I think, in 1934, a year after Loos's death.
Loos is often described as Austrian, of course, but he was born in what is today the Czech Republic. He also studied here. As someone from a German-speaking family, I wanted to ask, do we know how he was affected by the Czech milieu and whether it influenced him later in his career?
I think he couldn't have not been affected by him. After all, our childhood years are our formative years. And even though the immediate milieu in which he lived in Brno might have been German-speaking, it would have been inevitable that he had contacts as a child with the Czech-speaking milieu. So I think the physical imprint of the city of Brno, the contacts that he made as a child and through his family, the profession of his father as a stonemason and a sculptor, those were all things that would have influenced him in the very formative years.
I'm curious about the choice of title for the show. Why Learning to Dwell?
Blame me. I guess I have chosen what I would call a pre-title, because in the Czech version, I think it was just called Adolf Loos's Works in the Czech Lands. I have added Learning to Dwell because in the edited exhibition and in the other add-ons that we used to illustrate Loos's work outside the Czech lands, the conservation work on his Czech projects or some of his Czech projects, and the new projects that have come to light, we concentrated almost solely on residential projects. And the phrase Learning to Dwell comes from Loos's essays where he talked about the importance of his clients learning to dwell. He also, particularly in Vienna, used to organize tours of his interiors that he had designed on weekends. And it was not only to gain new clients, even though that was definitely an intention, but it was also because he felt that he had an educational mission to teach people something about what domestic space and the idea of home versus just the place where you go to sleep. So all of that.
I'd like to talk a little bit about functionalism and the functionalist movement. Loos reviled ornament and highly decorative styles, the Art Nouveau within the movement. Even today, the departure from that in functionalism seems fairly radical, seems very daring even now. I can only guess at how shocking it was then.
Well, it was pretty shocking. As you probably know, the house in Vienna, the building in Vienna on Michaeler Platz, encountered an unprecedented expression of scandal, almost definitely shock, because of its bare facade, even though the bottom part of it was quite ornamental in its own way. You cannot say that Loos reviled ornament. What he reviled was a certain type of ornament that is added ornament, added to the material that should speak for itself. But if you look at the way that he used marble or wood in his projects and in his built work, you see very clearly that the marble was polished and cut in such a way as to reveal the veins within the stone, and that in itself could be considered ornamental. But he, his desire to identify with the function of spaces rather than with some kind of a prescriptive idea of what buildings should look like led him to avoid and certainly to oppose something of a style where the ornament is forever added in order to appeal to the public taste. His ornament was within. His ornament was within the substance of the material and the way that he articulated it in space. It was never added.
In that light, let's discuss some of his most important residential buildings in the Czech Republic. I guess it would be impossible not to mention the Miller Villa.
Yes, the villa is really a culmination of his thinking about the idea of the spatial arrangement that worked with the function of spaces and sort of transgressed the traditional arrangement of equal height stories in a building. It is one of the best preserved, particularly now after the restoration. It is a remarkably well-preserved building. And it can show almost everything about the quality of Loss's work, about his ideas, about his use of material, about citing his projects in a landscape or in relation to the city, views such as the view of the Prague Castle that's perfectly framed by the upper terrace. I think that it is one of the last works. It's definitely one of two or three most mature works of his life, and it's just so very, very fortunate that we have it.
Now, for visitors who are perhaps listening and unable to visualize it, how would you describe the actual shape of it or the light and the type of space inside?
The basic shape is a cube where the main entry is from the back. You enter into a series of small spaces, into a very small kind of a foyer, wardrobe room, and then you immediately step up to a remarkably, infinitely generous living room, which is surmounted by a dining room. Those spaces are mutually linked and visible, so that, again, through the use of a small flight of stairs, you can sit in the dining room, overlook the living room, and look out into the garden. So that's kind of the determining
factor.
Mm-hmm. Factor in opening the building. Then really two flights of stairs, sometimes two or three together, is all that you do to enter again another space, a little nook with a built-in sofa, a bedroom, guest room, until ultimately you reach the children's rooms and the master of the house study. As you go up, you sort of discover, because of the way that the house is put together almost like a Lego, you discover these hidden spaces, and then again you come upon the more traditionally articulate spaces. But it's a kind of wonderful surprise of a house, and even though I have been there a number of times, it still delights me and surprises me right from the moment of the entry until you reach the top.
From what I've seen, the reaction so far has been very positive. Do you think that some of the visitors who see the exhibition in London will be inspired to put it down as one of those things that they'll definitely have to see when they come over to the Czech Republic?
Definitely. There's no question about it, because we, in the first 3 weeks of the exhibition, we have already sold out the catalog completely, even though we made sure to have a very, very large supply. So that's no longer available. We are just waiting for Prague to send us some more copies. And we have, in addition to the exhibitions, we have what we have called the Adolf Loos Season, and that's a series of talks and lectures and workshops and student-organized activities, children activities, all relating to the exhibitions. So there is a parallel program of activities that also reinforce the importance of the exhibition and the ideas that are expressed through it.
And that was Irina Murijantowska of the Royal Institute of British Architects in London talking about the life and work of Adolf Loos. They have a major exhibition now there at the museum, so if you're in London, it's well worth dropping by to see it.